जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिराज कार्य स्तोत्र सत सिमोलिस डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिराज कार्य स्तोत्र सत सिमोलिस डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत गदाधर शिवासती गौर भक्त वृंद की ब्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की श्री क्षेत्र मायापुर धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की भक्ति तुलसी महारानी की समवेत गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री प्रभुपाद ट्रांस जनरल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की हिताई गौर प्रेमानंदे All glories to Assembly Devotees, All glories to Assembly Devotees, All glories to Assembly Devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, All glories to Shri Prabhupada ki.
जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारे गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे। यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारे, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी।
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सतश्री श्रीमद इष्टवान ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सतश्री श्रीमद इष्टवान ग्रेस श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव बृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। समावेत भक्त बृंद की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि। All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Narayanam namaskritya Narancheva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टुकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Thank you all for joining us for this morning's Srimad Bhagavatam discussion. Today is another auspicious day. Is anyone aware of what is the significance of today? Yes. That's, I believe it's according to the Tithi, is today, not according to the date, I think. Okay, maybe you're right. So sorry for not checking the facts. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not, or maybe it's accurate, maybe it's not accurate. But the update that I got is that today is the day when Prabhupada arrived in the United States of America. Maybe it's not accurate. So, in any case, pure devotees' lives are always praiseworthy, and we can always praise irrespective of time, place, and circumstance. So, in preparation for today's verse, I've read some things from Srila Prabhupada's Leelamrita that I thought I will share, and somehow I didn't bring the book, but if I can try to repeat as much accurately as possible those accounts, I will try to do so in the course of our discussion. But for this morning's discussion, the verse is number 1 of chapter 8, titled, "The Lord Slays the King of the Demons." And it's from the Srimad Bhagavatam's 7th canto. Does anyone know who is the king of the demons? He's referring to Mataji. She doesn't know. So, the king of the demons that's being referred to here is Hiranyakashipu. His name is Hiranyakashipu. And it was millions of years ago from today's date, about 3 millennia ago, in Satya Yuga. This demon, who is very ferocious and very powerful, who has obtained a lot of benedictions and boons by praying to one of the demigods known as Brahma. And we hear from scripture that if one's heart is not pure, but he has some opulence, then they will use that opulence or power in a demoniac way. So with the powers that he got from the demigods, he tried to use them in all sorts of demoniac ways. And to the extent that he wanted to kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So that was his only motive. And anyone who praised the Lord, anyone who followed the path of the Lord is an enemy to him, including his own son. His son's name is Prahlad. And Prahlad was a 5-year-old boy. And at that age, for anyone, their own offspring is the most beloved. But simply because Prahlad was a follower of Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his father thought him to be as an enemy, and he wanted to kill Prahlad. So when he wanted to kill, of course, a devotee's protection is always the God, or Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. So when the own father tries to kill his own son, the Lord appears to protect his devotee, the 5-year-old boy. So that's the description that's mentioned in this chapter. And like I was mentioning, the king of the demons is Hiranyakashipu. And in this chapter, it is described how he got slayed in the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So we will read the text 1 and in call and response fashion, and then we will do the translation and purport also. Shri Narada Vacha Atha Daitya Suta Sarve Shrutva Tad Anuvarnitam Jagruhu Niravadyatvan Naiva Guru Anusikshitam శ్రీనారద ఉవాచ అథ దైత్యాసుతా సర్వే శ్రుత్వా తద్ అనువర్ణితాం జాగృహుర్నిరవద్దత్యాన్ నైవ గురు అనుశిక్షితాం. శ్రీనారద ఉవాచ అథ దైత్యాసుతా సర్వే శ్రుత్వా తద్ అనువర్ణితాం జాగృహ నిరవద్యత్వాన్ నైవ గురు అనుశిక్షితాం. శ్రీనారద ఉవాచ అథ దైత్యాసుతా సర్వే శ్రుత్వా తద్ అనువర్ణితాం జాగృహ నిరవద్యత్వాన్ నైవ గురు అనుశిక్షితాం. శ్రీనారద ఉవాచ అథ దైత్యాసుతా సర్వే శ్రుత్వా తద్ అనువర్ణితాం జాగృహ నిరవద్వత్యాన్ నైవ గురు అనుశిక్షితాం. శ్రీనారద ఉవాచ అథ దైత్యాసుతా సర్వే శ్రుత్వా తద్ అనువర్ణితాం జాగృహ నిరవద్వత్వాన్ నైవ గురు అనుశిక్షితాం. శ్రీనారద ఉవాచ. శ్రీనారద ముని సెడ్ అథ దేరపాన్ దైత్యసుత ద సన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద డీమన్స్ ద క్లాస్ ఫ్రెండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ప్రహ్లాద్ మహారాజ్ సర్వే ఆల్ శ్రుత్వా హియరింగ్ తత్ బై హిమ్ ప్రహ్లాద్ అనువర్ణితాం ద స్టేట్మెంట్స్ అబౌట్ డివోషనల్ లైఫ్ జాగృహుః యాక్సెప్టెడ్ నిరవద్యత్వాత్ డ్యూ టు ద సుప్రీం యూటిలిటీ ఆఫ్ దట్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ నా నాట్ ఏవా ఇండీడ్ గురు అనుశిక్షితాం దట్ విచ్ వాస్ థాట్ బై దేర్ టీచర్స్. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Narada Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers Shanda and Amarka. Purport: this is the effect of the preaching of a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. If a devotee is qualified, sincere, and serious about Krishna consciousness, and if he follows the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, as Prahlad Maharaj did when preaching the instructions he had received from Narada Muni, his preaching is effective. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, 25th verse, Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkarna rasayana katha. If one tries to understand the discourses given by the sat, or pure devotees, those instructions will be very pleasing to the ear and appealing to the heart. Thus, if one is inspired to take to Krishna consciousness, and if one practices the process in his life, he is surely successful in returning home back to Godhead. By the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became Vaishnavas. They did not like hearing from their so-called teachers, Shanda and Amarka, who were interested only in teaching them about diplomacy, politics, economic development, and similar topics meant exclusively for sense gratification.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katha Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrunda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Vinatarinam.
So it says Narada Vavacha, and Prabhupada is translated or has described it as Narada Muni continued. So does anyone remember who Narada Muni is speaking to?
Yes, of course to us, but long time back.
So the setting was Yudhishthira Maharaj at the beginning of 7th canto. He asked the question, because at the time of performing this huge Rajasuya Yajna, when all the personalities were present, Krishna was there, Pandavas were there, all sorts of exalted personalities, Narada Muni and others, other rishis, other saintly personalities are there. And then in that very Rajasuya Yajna's place, a personality raises an objection because Krishna is considered as the recipient of that honor, of that performing the sacrifice. Who was that personality, if anyone can remember? Who objects? Shishupal, yes. So when Shishupal objects, unfortunately, in baseball, they say 3 strikes and you're out. And that objection was not the first time in Shishupal's case. That objection was actually an offense against the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the 100th time. So Krishna knows this. Long before that, Krishna says that, okay, I know he is envious of me, so I will spare him for 100 falls. And on the 100th time, I cannot spare him anymore. So that setting of Rajasuya Yajna happens to be the very setting where envious Shishupal chose to offend again the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's it. 100 strikes and he's out. Krishna sends his Sudarshan Chakra, his head cuts off. That's the end of Shishupal. And that's when a very mystical thing happens, that in the very
form of Krishna, while everyone can see, the soul of Shishupal enters, indicating that he got liberated. So this bewilders everyone, including the Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj is the son of Yamaraj. He is the personification of all the religious principles. So he knows everything, but for him also it is bewildering to see how come Shishupal gets liberated, such an envious person. So he asks, what is it that we are seeing? And of course, Narada Muni is the most exalted personality. So he asks him, like, how is it that such an envious person who offended Krishna so many times, right in front of our eyes, got liberated? So to answer that question, Narada Muni describes how Jaya and Vijaya, who are the Dwarapalakas, are the guards at the door, main door of Vaikuntha, who are guarding the place where the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu or Mahavishnu is resting or residing. And then how they got cursed and how it was relieved, the sages have relieved them from the curse by giving the three options or the three opportunities to take birth in the form of demons and then be delivered by Lord Krishna himself. So at that time when Narada Muni describes, or Yudhishthira Maharaj asks, like, it seems like the Lord is being partial to his devotees, and at the same time we know that he's impartial. How can I understand? So to the answer those questions, when Narada Muni describes this, he also mentions about the form of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha in Satyayuga, where the Lord kills them, and Narada Muni tells that when the Prahlad Maharaj, the devotee, is being harmed and harassed, the Lord chose to appear as half man and half lion form and kill. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj asks, oh, I'm so curious to know the whole story. Like, how is it that a son can be so much loathed by his own father, to the extent that he wanted to kill? So to that extent, or to that question, Narada Muni is describing all this to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So in one sense, or direct answer is, he's describing this to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So, atha daitve suta sarve. So, atha means does or thereupon. Daitya means the sons of Diti. And Suta means the sons. Daitya means those who belong to Diti, and then Suta, the sons of Diti, or the demons. Sarve Shrutva. The sons of the demons, they have heard all the Shrutva. We hear the hear word Shrunu, Tat Shrunu in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says. That's Shrutva, or Shruti means to hearing. Tad Anuvartitan. That means those Anuvarnitam, sorry, the statements about devotional life, the instructions that Prahlad Maharaj spoke. Jagruhur Nirvad Dhyatvan. Niravadvatvan means due to the supreme utility of that instruction. So we take instructions which have utility. Prabhupada said utility is the principle. So if there is some book, if there is some machine, it comes with an utility manual that has instructions. And we follow it because we want to use that. So instructions are meant for following, in other words. So these demons, or these sons of the demons, are the classmates
of a five-year-old boy, so they're also of the same age. They have jagruhu, they have accepted these instructions. And then what did they do? They also did another thing, that nayeva guru anusikshitam. Their gurus, their teachers in the school are Shanda and Amarka, two teachers that are teaching them in all sorts of things, which is basic, whatever that is, materialistic life. To succeed in materialistic life, whatever they were taught. So those demons are the sons of the demons. They have not only heard and accepted Prahlad Maharaj's teachings, but they could give up which were taught until that time by Shanda and Amarka, which is a remarkable thing. Rupa Goswami says in his teachings, Anukulyasya Vajjitam, Anukulyena, Pratikulyasya Vajjitam, Anukulyena Sankalpam, Pratikulyasya Vajjitam. So those things which are favorable for devotional service have to be accepted. Those things which are not have to be rejected. So this, by the effect of a preaching of a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, even the five-year-old demoniac personalities can also understood. They have also understood. So highlighting some points from the Prabhupada's purport, that's the translation that pretty much word to word also. Prabhupada is talking in his purport about the qualification of a pure devotee. And he is also talking about the effective preaching. We go for Harinam. When we go for Harinam, invariably, I'm sure, at least, I don't know the places, but most of the famous places, somehow like Michigan Lake or Michigan Avenue, whenever we go there, irrespective of, I felt like, of course, I don't go as much as the Sankirtan devotees go, so I shouldn't be speaking generalized or as if I go every day, but no matter how many times, like randomly on a weekday or weekend or a festival day, whenever we go, I've seen these personalities standing on a podium or on a wall or on a stool, kind of like they want to like be seen and, of course, be heard also. And then they have some sort of a microphone or some audio PA system. And then they go bashing about, of course, those who loudly chant and dance Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as well as everybody else. Is that preaching? Is that effective? When I used to go to UIC for like various classes, between classes we are supposed to go from one campus to another campus, or one room to another room, or one part of the campus to another part of the campus. And we were supposed to go through the student union building at the quad. And that's one of those prime locations, because everybody in between classes, recess times, they sit there. And then I used to see this personality or person who is always standing on top of that raised platform or something, and then he would just yell and yell and yell. And with all that yelling, I could only hear one word, hell. So I understood, this is hell, hellish, whatever he is talking about. Why so much negativity? Why so much bothering about hell? Is it anywhere going to convince anyone? Like last week, I butchered completely about that Prabhupada story I was discussing with Mukunda Prabhu in our train ride back to the temple. Prabhupada was sharing the story of a pastor and then preaching to a bunch of miners or workers in the mine. And then he was describing about the hellish conditions. So he was saying that if you don't follow the God consciousness, then you will go to hell. And these miners, they don't know what is hell. So the pastor was describing that hell is like fully dark, there's no light, you will rot in that place. And then the miner said, well, that's where we are every day. It's no different than where we work. And then the pastor has a thought, and then he says, oh, by the way, there is no newspaper in hell. And then everybody says, no, we can't go to hell then. If there is no newspaper, we cannot afford to go to hell. In today's world, if there is no Facebook, of course. So hell may not have any Facebook or cell phone. So the point is that what's the effect of such a preaching? Preaching is, purity is the force, Prabhupada said. Preaching is the essence. Books are the basis. And utility is the principle. So preaching is not simply, when I came to United States, until the age of 22 or 23, I have no idea what is ISKCON when I was in India. After I came to United States, the very first day, somehow it happened that the person who happens to be my roommate also, he and I tagged along in Bombay Airport, and then it happens that he is a devotee or a practicing devotee from Chowpatty Temple. So that's the first introduction for me. And then he happened to be my roommate. And then he said, we arrived on a Saturday. And then on Sunday, he said, there is a temple here. It's a small town called Boise, Idaho. That's where I arrived. And then he said, there is a temple, ISKCON Temple. Would you like to go? And I said, I don't know what is an ISKCON Temple is. And then he said, well, it's a Krishna temple. And being raised in an Orthodox Brahminical family, I thought, like, oh, it's a religious thing, pious thing to go to temple. We come this far, let's go. And then I saw all these people jumping, dancing, and then I was like, okay, this is not for me. So, and then later on, he tried to convince me many times. And in the beginning stages, for me as an individual I will tell the reason behind sharing this particular incident. After a few days, one time our roommates brought, there were other two roommates along with this ISKCON devotee. At that time I was not a practitioner or a follower. And then one time I came home after school, and then there is this pizza in the kitchen. And then I got excited. This is within the first 1 week or so. And until that time, in India, I never tasted pizza. And just like anybody else, when I was thinking that I'm going to America, I will experience some of the American habits, lifestyle, whatever it is. Of course, I was not so much into all sorts of things, but at least pizza, come on. So, And I'm new to this culture of sticky notes also, like post-it notes. Everything in America has to have a sticky note. The computer has to have a sticky note. The pujari room has to have a sticky note. Everywhere, a sticky note, notice to someone. So here he is, my friend, my roommate, put a sticky note saying, Madhusudan, this pizza is not to be eaten by those who follow Krishna. And then he mentioned, this has rennet, which is a the enzymes have rennet, which is derived from cow's intestines or something. And then I was like, oh my God, I cannot eat this. I was depressed. So after that, I kind of had a negative mind, because, of course, that's one reason. Because until somebody gives a positive thing, if somebody is only saying no, 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 it's very hard. And my first introduction to ISKCON was no, 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 unfortunately. You cannot eat this. And then he would say, oh no, if you're going to go to this temple, you cannot do this. If you're doing, I'm not saying in a negative way, I'm just contrasting the preaching, because we all want to preach. But what is it with preaching? So after that, few days after my first days of going to the temple, I got an invitation along with my roommate from the temple president and his wife. Her name is Arudha Mataji and Anantarupa Prabhu. And then they invited because they're one of their kids, Radhika Raman Prabhu's birthday. So they said that, why don't you both join us for his birthday party? And we said, okay. Well, we don't have anything going on a Saturday night. All my dreams of coming to the United States has vanished. So I can't go to any place. So let's go to this invitation. So we went there. And you know what that Mataji made? Homemade pizza. My eyes lit up. And I loved her so much ever since that day. I still love her. So it can make a lot of impact from which platform we are coming from. Of course, it is not to say that my friend for telling me to not eat something that's inappropriate is wrong. But every person has a preaching style. The preaching that's effective on the followers of Srila Prabhupada is because they believed and they trusted that it is coming from a platform of love. They understood that he is caring for them. In the beginning, Prabhupada fed them prasadam. He cooked with his own hands. And he distributed prasadam. He did kirtan and lot of prasadam. And he never said, oh, you stop going to this whatever place you're going. You stop doing this whatever you are doing. He never said no to anyone. All he said is in the beginning, okay, come here, do some singing, do some chanting, do some dancing, and eat a lot of prasadam that I'm cooking, and leave. That's how he engaged. Until the point when they themselves have come and said to Prabhupada that, is there anything else that we are supposed to do? So that's because by then he has earned his trust, but they have earned. Or he has earned their trust. At that point, yes, they are willing to receive something with an open heart. If it is coming from a judgmental perspective, if it is coming from a, you're going to hell, so why don't you take this up? Who will be inspired or enthused? What is so much about philosophy if it is not going to change anyone's hearts? So that qualifications Prabhupada is mentioning, if one is qualified, sincere, and serious about Krishna consciousness, and another quality or another qualification is if he follows the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master. When Prabhupada arrived, he was remembering his spiritual master's instructions. He came to the United States with one mission, and that mission was the instruction of his spiritual master. And it's a lot of times we hear or we meditate on what he did after arriving in the United States, which is all tremendous, but there is a huge amount of preparation that went into that phase, and a lot of hardships. It's not like he could buy, like some of us, a ticket to America and board the flight and come here. It was much more difficult. But he went through all those, and he kept the instruction of the spiritual master on his forehead, and he followed that. That's how his preaching became effective. And similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, he is qualified himself as a pure devotee. He heard from his mother's womb, which is mystical. Like, how can, but the soul can hear. And what Narada Muni taught is to the soul of Prahlad in the mother's womb. It's not so much to the body, or not at all to the body. So he understood, he followed by his example, Saint Francis said, preach all you want, but talk only when necessary. So preaching is not so much about talking, just like I'm doing right now. I feel always like, am I talking too much? Am I talking too little? Because I'm an inexperienced speaker. But that's not what the instruction is. The instruction is, you can preach through the example. That's more effective than simply holding a microphone and bashing at others or whatever that style is. Not so appealing, not so convincing to the heart. And when we go as a group and dance, like at the Lollapalooza event, all the teenagers and kids, they were like coming back and forth, and then they would say, we like you guys, and the right next to us is the guy who is bashing us and everyone else. And then they were outward, like, they're just unabashedly, they are saying that we like you guys. Why do they like us? Do we have any wings that others don't have, any special mystic powers? Well, we do have one mystic power, that's the holy name of Krishna. But other than that, we are not simply bashing them for whatever they're doing. The love comes first. It takes a lot to hate a person. It takes a lot. But to love, it's a very simple thing in life. And that's the love, that's the platform from which Prahlad Maharaj is preaching. And then Prabhupada continues saying that if one tries to understand the discourses given by the sat, or the pure devotees, those instructions will be very pleasing to the ear and appealing to the heart. So those who are situated on the sat platform, so one may say, I am not qualified, I am not a pure devotee, how can I convince? The conviction of others is not up to us, it is up to Krishna. Krishna may decide however he wants to use us. From our side, it is the part of playing the part of an instrument. We are not the doers of anything. It's up to Krishna, who is situated in the heart of every living entity as a super soul, to decide whether this person, or whether he wants to be inspired. And even the Krishna doesn't interfere even with the individual's freedom or free will. He will say, oh, this seems to be a nice path, or he will show them this is a nice path, but it is up to the individual to decide whether or not they want to accept it. So, and then, by the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, these personalities become devotees, and then they did not like hearing the so-called teachers, Shanda and Amarka, who were interested in only teaching them about all the other topics. So one can say that, is there any value in other things? There is a certain level of value in knowing other things, to the extent that we can use the instructions of the spiritual master to somehow dovetail or use them, just like Prabhupada gives the example of microphone often, or the dictaphone. That it's for materialistic people, it has a different utility. But how we use the same knowledge. So one, we can't simply say that, okay, that's it, I'm accepting devotional service, I'm giving up this knowledge, whatever that is, this is materialistic. It depends on the consciousness of the persons. The knowledge that one can impart from other sources of knowledge is only useful to the extent we can use it in Krishna's service. If it is not used in Krishna's service, then it is avidya or nescience. So the point is that we have to simultaneously have a certain level of accepting the instructions that are being conveyed. At the same time, we have to be willing to give up those which are conditioning, or those which are prohibiting us to take a step close to Krishna. It's the giving up part that is very difficult, because we have accustomed to that path for lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. It's not just that we can, it says, someone said, like, it takes 21 days to accustom to a new habit. If you want to cultivate something new, then they say that you have to do it for regularly for 21 days, so that that becomes kind of your new practice. But to give up something is not so easy. It takes more than 21 days. It's this strong rooted attachment that's coming from lifetime after lifetime. So I think I've spoken enough, and like I said, without the purity in heart, whatever is said, or without the example, it's only so much. And then I was also telling that, sharing with Mukunda Prabhu, that all of you, the Bhagavatam discussion is kind of like a, I don't know, like, I feel in a dilemma, because it's like preaching to the choir, I was saying, because it's not like anything is related to, I need to say this, or not am I qualified to preach. So in one sense, it's sharing my own inspirations, or in one sense, sharing my own understanding, and then most importantly, hearing from you as a feedback in the next 10 minutes, hopefully, to see what your understanding is, or if you have any comments or discussion. Thank you. Anyone? Jai Baldev Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class, very enlivening. And I have a question about, you were mentioning a point that, of course, for us, our technique is not bashing people when we're preaching. Of course, we wouldn't like anyone to yell at us. But can you explain, because one point I really appreciated from Bhaktisiddhanta, he made one point that he said, real humility is never found in it. In an external show of humility, which is actually mere duplicity. So although sometimes we could all probably say for our own conscience, we may not be abashing others externally, but the tendency is we're all under the mold of material nature, the pride comes, circumstances change, if somebody doesn't treat us nice, we may have a tendency to disrespect and bash people internally. And so from an external point of view, bashing others externally may be considered, you know, bad compared to internally, but actually they're more or less the same. So how can one watch one's consciousness of that? Because people feel your energy when you're, you know, bashing them internally. They feel that negativity. So I just want, because we're maybe not so aware of that, we don't really consider it. Our mind is just telling us bash them internally, and we don't really think anything of it. So how does one kind of pay attention to that more often and rectify one's consciousness?
Sure, thank you. It's one of my meditations also, whenever I try to engage in any book distribution, because the common tendency that I try to catch within myself is, when we see a person walking, we see the externalities, and then we have a certain level of projection, we project that this person is going to be this way, this person is mild, this person is calm, this person is, don't even give him a book. So that's the different thought processes that go in the mind. And then I try to catch that within myself, and then think that, come on. It's not so, because humility is to accept what our level of advancement is, or in one sense, our level of fallen position is, because we are not so advanced, or I am not so advanced. So when we approach someone from a humble platform, it has certain effect. And then the thing that I was also sharing with Mukunda Prabhu somehow last week on the same point, that it's not so much about what we feel or we say or we explain, but the humility is also how much we repeat from what we heard. Because most often we hear something and we think that, oh, this is how I understood, and this is how I process it. And when we speak to others, We think that we are speaking the same message that we heard, but we are actually have filtered that message in so many different layers, and then when we convey to that other person, it won't have the same effect. The same message that we hear. So from my side, it's like, how can I simply try to repeat the message? Because that requires a lot of humility. That means I have to give up my own conceptions. That means I have to give up my own ideas. That means I have to give up my own projections on the other person. Because if Prabhupada were to see me today sitting here, or any person, they can identify so many bad qualities. But that's not the way he would approach any person, no matter how fallen they are. So from our side, it takes a little assessment of where we stand in our advancement, or, like I said, fallenness of, if there is such a word, of or how insignificant we are. Then it's a little bit, I wouldn't say easier, but it's a little bit for us, makes sense for us to approach the other person with lesser projections or lesser bashing. Rather than, because the projections is mostly based on a judgmental point of view. If I were to be judged by somebody else, how would I feel? I won't feel happy. If somebody were to, like, I felt like, hey, Madhusudan, don't eat pizza because it has rennet in it and that's cause intestines. And I first felt like, what is this, all this? Like, it's made of pizza, there is some cheese, and then the cheese has some enzymes, and the enzymes have something that were made out of, and I was like, so confused. Beyond all that, the big thing that I was seeing is a big N-O to pizza for my first time in life, coming to America. So, but where is the platform? Is there coming from a loving platform? We may not have love, like I said. We may not be qualified. But repeating, because the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why are we going to the outside world and trying to give out the books and preach or chant the holy name and Harinam and all? It's not so much that, or it's not at all that we are qualified to do so. Rather, it is because that's the instruction of our founder Acharya, that's the instruction of the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That if we receive this, then we have to give to others. Is that anywhere? Okay. Thank you. Any? Let's see if anyone else has anything else. Doesn't look like. That's it.
I'll try to make this question two in one, basically. Basically, you mentioned about the qualifications of a devotee, and also the term pure devotee was used in this purport. So sometimes we read the scriptures, and when we hear the word pure devotees, or if someone doesn't have another devotee to, a more experienced devotee to associate with, and they hear the term pure devotee, at least for myself, when I first heard that, I had the conception that they're perfect, no devotees had made no mistakes, you know, they're completely perfect. But we read, like, for example, Indra or King Chitraketu, even though they were considered devotees, they made some mistakes, but, you know, they kind of rectified themselves. So, and this also is related to my question about qualifications of a devotee. In the material world, we see that people who are qualified maybe have a lot of education, or money. If you have money, education, or whatever, then you're VIP. You're qualified to do anything. But it's not so with spiritual life. So how does one basically give up this mentality that, you know, first of all, devotees don't make mistakes. They do, and it's mentioned in the scriptures. And how does one not get discouraged by that, or have the misconception of, okay, I'm come to this certain stage of Christian consciousness, I'm a pure devotee, therefore I'm qualified. I just want to get rid of that kind of misconception, because we hear that when devotees say that they're qualified, pure devotees, they say, I have no qualification. When they come to that, you know, high stage, is that I really have no qualification, you know. So then Krishna can inspire them with, you know, to do amazing things. So how does one, can you, My question isn't very clear, but can you elaborate on that point?
Can you explain the punchline of your question? I'm having...
My punchline, they're kind of two in one, so maybe I'll separate them. How does one not become discouraged, first of all, when they hear the word pure devotee and think, okay, I have to be perfect. If I make one mistake, then I should leave Krishna consciousness.
If I made any mistakes, then...
Yeah, if I made one mistake or whatever. Because we hear from, like, Narada Muni, he's Prahlad's spiritual master, but in his previous life, he made a mistake. I forgot exactly the scenario around that mistake or whatever. He was, like, a kind of lover boy or a playboy or something like that, and then he fell down or something, and something to that extent. And so how does one not become discouraged, basically?
From our mistakes.
Yeah, and when we do reach a high platform of Krishna consciousness or externally high platform, how does one relinquish that misconception that I'm qualified now? Because we hear the terms qualification, so we may have the idea that I'm qualified now. And then that's like the disqualification to think I'm qualified.
So let me paraphrase what I understand your question and see if you agree. The question is, like, we hear that the pure devotees or advanced devotees say that I have no qualification. At the same time, in our lives, when we feel like, or when do we feel that when we are not qualified? Or
we hear the word pure devotee, we see, they made no mistake. And then we may become discouraged in our life, because how does that apply to us? Because in the material world...
Since we make mistakes.
Yeah, we make mistakes all the time. Sure. So if we read the scriptures and no devotee made a mistake, how can we relate to that? How do we kind of stay determined and enthusiastic?
So you're saying that when we read the examples of the pure devotees whose lives are faultless...
Like Prahlad Maharaj.
They have no mistakes, they have no doubts, but in our case, we have all sorts of faults.
Yeah, and we hear Indra stories like Indra, who may not be like Prahlad, but, still they're considered devotees also.
Sure.
So...
Sure.
How does one not become discouraged is my ultimate question.
How does one not become discouraged? There are a few things in our life that we can take inspiration from. on a day-to-day basis, we see the examples that are mentioned in the scripture that give us the, like, especially the scripture of Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatas, are up there. And in our lives, as you mentioned, it's not so much that we have those qualities. So for us, the path of Bhagavata Marg is given so that we take inspiration or we know the goal and then we try to aspire. And as you mentioned, when we see the faults or when we recognize our actions or when we catch ourselves doing a mistake, so to say, the first feeling is one can see that there are two options for every action that we commit or every mistake we may commit. One can say that I'm right and one can say I'm wrong. What is our disposition? The disposition of I am right is coming from a prideful platform. And, I did something mistake. Just like we read this example of Indra repeatedly. Has Indra committed any mistakes? Numerous. Has he offended Lord Krishna directly? At least a few times. Has he repented those? Yes. Although I don't have any qualification, but just for the sake of giving an example, although our own, one of the primary teachers of our movement or the disciplic succession, Brahma, he committed one time an offense. And it is not out of disrespect I'm quoting this, but to give a shastric evidence that he committed one time an offense. And his disposition, as soon as he realized that mistake, is very repentful. So we hear these four R's: recognize, repent, rectify, reinstate. Those are the four R's for us to enthusiastically realign ourselves whenever, without getting discouraged from mistakes. When we do mistakes, we have to recognize them. We have to accept them, that we have done something, kind of a thing. If we simply try to cover up, it's not Krishna consciousness, something else. So the without getting discouraged means for in the thing that comes to my mind is like, yes, we need to recognize. And then we have to rectify. What is the repentance method? We have the offenses against the holy name that we recite, the 10 offenses. And there are some offenses against the seva aparad, against the devotees, against the deities. So we have to catch guard against those offenses. And when we do those things, there are certain, not a prayaschitta, but what is the right word? Way to rectify those mistakes. Just like chanting the holy name is repeatedly mentioned as the antidote for offenses. More chanting, serving the devotees. So that's the rectification. And then reinstatement. One has to reinstate oneself. The reinstatement is that I have fallen down, I have made mistakes, I'm so useless, I'm not qualified to be in this movement, let me go out of this. That's not the reinstatement. Reinstatement means that I have fallen down, I have regretted, I have rectified, so let me get back to my service. I could have chosen to not come to this class simply because I know that I'm fallen down. But I thought that, come on, I know that I'm fallen down, and everybody knows. It's not like none of you know that I'm fallen down. It's not that I'm sitting here because I have some special aura around me. Nothing. I'm sitting here because I have a service. I was given this service, and I like this service, so I have chosen to come here. Is that? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other concluding? 8:35, sorry. 5 minutes over. I could have spoken a little less. Thank you. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.